Christian Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Leading Well, A Black Woman's Guide to Holistic, Barrier-Breaking Leadership by Jean Porter King. Narrated by Jean Porter King. Publisher's note, in this audio edition, you will hear references to figures present in the print and e-book formats of the book. I dedicate this book to my mother, Marjorie Stella Porter. Mom, you taught me to love well. My heart overflows with gratitude for you. Introduction. Chances are, as a Black woman leader, you have been asked at some point to define leadership, what it is, how it looks from your vantage point, and how to achieve a similar paid or volunteer role. Over the years, I've answered those same queries many times. Because answers vary, let's start with a foundational definition. For purposes of this book, leading is the process of influencing, making an impact, and providing guidance and wisdom, whether we have a title or not. As Black women of faith, leading also includes being the light and a representative of Christ wherever we have been called. Like our hair textures, colors, lengths, and styles, Black Christian women's leadership is diverse. Leadership looks different on each of us. Yet, when it comes to execution of our roles, one similarity is worth pursuit. We can and should lead well. What does that mean? Leading well is foremost leading effectively. Effective leaders fulfill their assignments and execute responsibilities with excellence and maximum impact. I believe leading well also means leading from a place of wholeness, whereby Black Christian women are empowered by the Spirit of God for maximum output with minimum negative impact on ourselves and others. Thus, for purposes of this book, I define leading well as a holistic approach based on leading from the inside out, from the wellspring of living water that Jesus promised. It is the type of leadership that equips, empowers, rejuvenates, and inspires us to serve in the church and the marketplace as a calling. Black women lead, and more of us want to lead in a way that does not cause detriment to our souls. Basically, we want to lead well. What does that look like from a Black woman's perspective? The answer is quite simple, but becomes complicated when adopting a majority culture definition of leadership and then placing an unreasonable performance burden on the backs and shoulders of Black women leaders. That is akin to defining our hair by majority culture standards of beauty, a self-defeating task. The simple truth, however, is that just as our hair is naturally beautiful and created by God to display God's glory, leading well for Black women is both natural and God-centered. Black women lead in every area of society. Some of us listening to this book are corporate executives or managers seeking to rewire our leadership. Some are considering entering new leadership roles. Some lead in churches and community organizations. Some lead as volunteers in service organizations. Still, others are retired, now helping to raise grandchildren. This book is for all of us. I offer this book as a resource for us to cope with the exclusion we experience in the workplace, but also to empower us to holistically lead from the well of the Spirit. Unfortunately, many of us are pushed to the margins or beyond while leading. As Black women, many of us lead within our organizations and institutions as outsiders, not fully embraced or included. That outsider status gives us a distinct perspective. As Black women, we experience the dual assaults of racism and sexism, which come in both blatant ways and in subtler forms of comments or actions in our workplaces and communities that hurt our hearts. These take their toll on our lives. It's time for change. Sometimes the organizational cultures in which we lead are not inclusive and don't respect, embrace, or get the diverse perspectives we bring to the table. So many of us are encouraged to fit into a leadership mold that doesn't always fit so well. These old leadership models are like shoes that are too tight, restrictive, and limiting our freedom and mobility. Still, other black women leaders hold back a little of our authentic identity to be perceived as fitting into the culture at work or church. Some of us stay in places in which we have been and continue to be excluded, no matter how hard we work and no matter our achievements. Because of other people's perspectives, we have not always felt we could bring our whole selves to our leadership context. And many of us surely don't believe we can care for ourselves before we care for everyone else. These stressors leave their mark on our souls, and those marks affect our ability to lead well. This is what happened in Angel's case. A mid-level leader in a financial services company, Angel had received numerous accolades while leading her team in projects with exemplary results. Yet as the only black woman on a team of 50, she felt she had to prove herself every day despite her accomplishments. Angel also had to dodge the daily subtle and not-so-subtle racist and sexist darts thrown at her by her manager and some of her colleagues. The pressurized environment wore Angel out. Angel led effectively, but she wasn't leading well. She wrote me, letting me know she was physically, mentally, and spiritually drained and needed guidance from a Christian woman who has led in business. Then there was Tamika. Like Angel, Tamika also dealt with on-the-job comments designed to undermine her leadership. Outwardly, she was successful, but inwardly, she felt as if she was drowning. Hardworking and confident, she successfully met her work-related goals. Yet internally, she was tired with a capital T. She struggled with how to show up in meetings. That was not always the case, but sharing a viewpoint different from those of some coworkers had put Tamika on her manager's radar. Her manager pulled her aside and told her she needed to be a better team player. Grappling with towing the line or sharing her perspective, Tamika was stumped. Should she speak up or not? She feared if she didn't say anything in those meetings, her coworkers would assume she was not adding value, and they'd overlook her input and ability to succeed. Her confidence was waning, and Tamika had lost the joy in a job she once loved. Perhaps you can relate to Angel's or Tamika's leadership trials, or maybe your situation is more like Jessica's. She had discovered that proven leadership skills welcomed in one place may not be embraced in another. Specifically, she had demonstrated a lot of leadership ability in her church and community and was looking to live out a more purpose-filled life at work. Jessica worked in human resources. She wanted to move into a leadership role that enabled her to use all of her gifts, talents, and experiences. But she couldn't catch a break on her 9-to-5, despite her leadership acumen outside the walls of her company. Sadly, she felt so excluded from advancement opportunities that she was considering a job or career change. These examples reveal how Black Christian women leaders face myriad limitations in our leadership development and advancement. Lived experiences of women like Angel, Tamika, and Jessica also underscore the great need for a book like Leading Well. Too often, we lead in places where the leaders we work for or with define success in merely quantitative terms. A higher return on investment, productivity, engagement scores, sales, and the number of speaking engagements are the measures of leadership success. Still others define success by the title on the nameplate of their door or other accruals such as fancy cars, houses, and planes. But do these things count in and of themselves in the grand scheme of things? Instead, isn't our challenge as women of faith to create meaning and purpose? Isn't that why we spend so much time carving out the correct mission statement to connect people in our organizations to broader purposes? Isn't that why, after 2 years of a global pandemic, the world has experienced an exodus from workplaces of people seeking meaning and purpose? In 2022, 70% of C-suite level executives seriously considered resigning for a job that better supported their well-being. In addition, 86% of executives said the pandemic had negatively affected their overall health, and 81% said improving their own equilibrium was more important than advancing their careers right now. I believe these Exeters aspire to lead well and not sacrifice their health and well-being at the altar of corporate and institutional systems. For Black women of faith who lead, the priority of our well-being must become baked into our leadership systems. No longer can we afford to coach and train leaders, especially women leaders, on caring for the organization without caring for ourselves. We must develop the whole leader. Leadership skills and organizational goals cannot take precedence over our well-being. I offer this message of leading in this book so that we can advance the human flourishing of all of us. My early leadership journey. For me, leadership is ultimately a spiritual journey. Regardless of the number of courses we take or how many leadership competencies we develop, ultimately, our effectiveness will hinge on the state of our souls. Literally. That's because as Christians, we lead from who we are in the depths of our souls, and what we do emanates from our innermost being. At least we are supposed to do so. But too many of us get caught in the tsunami of leadership models that prioritize performance over people. For believers, truly leading well means leading from a place of internal wholeness. It means leading from the well within us and resisting the external cacophony of voices pressuring, cajoling, and calling for assimilation to the world's models. As believers, and specifically believing Black women, leading from our spiritual core sustains us even in the most trying situations. In my early days of working as a corporate consultant while simultaneously serving in ministry in my local church, I fell into a performance trap. I traveled extensively, working with leaders across the country. I developed training sessions that taught skills or developed processes that enhanced the effectiveness of teams and organizations. While I was doing all this travel, I was also serving in church and ministry leadership. And like many of us do, I fell into the routine of performing according to external standards and benchmarks without calculating the hidden toll my drive was exacting upon my soul. I counted my success based on the number of new clients I brought in and maintained, the number of engagements I agreed to per year, the number of new affiliate team members I added, and, of course, the amount of revenue I brought in. These external measures were important, but they couldn't sustain me. Inside, I kept sensing a need to change how I led and developed leaders. I needed to shift from leading to fulfill only external measures to leading from the inside out, that is, from a place of purpose, values, and wholeness. I had to transform from leading like a superwoman to becoming and leading as a well woman. Leading like a superwoman entails acting as if we have the capacity to do all things for all people, all by ourselves. It's the mindset that we can keep piling more and more responsibilities and tasks on our plates and somehow get 48 hours of work done in a 24-hour day, every day. An impossible goal, but a superwoman mentality nevertheless compels working ourselves to the bone without giving our spirits, souls, and bodies the rest they deserve through daily lunch breaks, weekly Sabbath observation, yearly vacations, and the like. Acting like a superwoman is never advantageous and often stems from brokenness. When we lead like this, we don our cape and handle our business without missing a beat. We don't delegate or count on others to get the job done. We push ourselves to the point of exhaustion, and we don't slow down long enough to reflect, rest, and get revived. I know some sister leaders proudly proclaim their superwoman status. Been there, done that. For me, that path did not lead to superhuman strength, insight, or power, but to a breakdown. Leading from that broken place, being overstressed and overstretched, was good neither for the people I served nor myself. Since then, I've learned how to integrate wellness principles and practices into my approach to leadership so I could start from a healthier place and cultivate healthier practices for the people and places I serve. The lessons I share with you in leading well emerge from my journey of learning to do just that. My journey started many years ago, and at different junctures, the Spirit prodded me to re-examine my leadership practices. I didn't realize it at the time, but at each new stage in my life, the Holy Spirit put me on a path toward what I now call leading well. Perhaps you're sensing the Spirit nudging you to re-examine your leadership practices. Or perhaps external forces, including COVID-19 pandemic, have caused you to seek a more sustainable and holistic leadership model. If so, leading well is for you. Black women and wellness. Leading well is based on a wellness framework that focuses on the spiritual dimension of our lives. According to the Global Wellness Institute, wellness is multidimensional, and most wellness models include at least six dimensions. These dimensions might include mental, spiritual, emotional, social, environmental, and physical wellness. Some models add lifestyle, while others add a financial dimension, and still others add an occupational category. The intent is to acknowledge that each dimension of our lives is interrelated, and each area affects our overall well-being. Uniquely, this book focuses on spirituality, but not as one equal dimension of 6, 9, or 12 factors. Instead, Leading Well focuses on spiritual wellness for Black women as the core of our well-being so that we might truly lead well. We learn that the spiritual wellness we yearn for comes from the overflowing well of the Spirit Jesus promised in John chapter 4, verse 14. It is worth noting that the wellness models I've found don't include a couple of dimensions I know to be vital to our well-being as Black women. For instance, none address a healthy identity as a critical dimension of wellness or well-being. Leading Well bridges that information gap, centering Black women's identity as a critical component to effective leadership. Why is this important? So often, Black women carry what Dr. Shaniqua Walker-Barnes calls the burden of strength. As I noted previously, the Black superwoman or strong Black woman image creates the type of leadership in which we try to be everything to everyone with no reserves left for ourselves. I'll say more about that later. For now, know that embracing our God-given identity is essential, especially in a world that doesn't fully affirm Black women. Finally, leading for Black women is ingrained in our culture. Black female excellence is a cultural value. Ask Mary McLeod Bethune. Lifting as we climb is a cultural value. Ask Mary Church Terrell. Leading liberation is a cultural value. Ask Harriet Tubman. Leading for justice for our communities is a cultural value. Ask Ida B. Wells. The culture, tradition, and legacy of Black women who came before us serve as inspiration for leading well, whether we have a title or not. Our cultural heritage, hailing back to an ancient West African worldview, preserves the sense of well-being that anchors a leading well mindset and practices for Black women. Our ancestors believed ardently in the spiritual world. In this worldview, there is a sense of wholeness in the entire created order of which we are a part. A sense of wholeness of the person is manifested in the African attitude to life. Just as there is no separation between the sacred and the secular and communal life, neither is there separation between the soul and the body in a person. Our ancestors also believed in the value of our collective humanity. For instance, the South African concept of Ubuntu, which means I am because you are, underscores the sense of communal and collective value necessary for our overall well-being. Our ancestors held a belief about God and community that our faith tradition celebrates and from which we can draw. As Black Christian women who lead, we need resources that honor our faith, yet equip us to lead effectively in our workplaces, churches, community organizations, and homes. The practices Black women leaders of faith use to draw from the well include prayer, Bible reading, and personal and corporate worship. Let's affirm these. They help us to cope with the exclusion we experience. Both the private and robust communal dimensions to our well-being are deeply spiritual. Ultimately, that is what leading well is about. About this book, I never thought I'd become an advocate for wellness for Black women leaders. Leading Well was conceived after two of my closest friends died a month apart, each from rare cancers at relatively young ages. These friends were Black women leaders of faith at the top of their game. Competent and charismatic, my friends led with clarity, conviction, and care for their institutions and the people they served. I couldn't shake the thought that their deaths were a wake-up call for me. I searched scriptures for answers. My friends had accomplished so much in their respective fields, leaving a legacy for the next generation. Their dying reminded me that none of us knows how much time we have on this earth. Their full but relatively short lives epitomized for me the need for each of us to lead well. We each have moments or seasons that call us to examine our lives and leadership. I've had many such seasons at various junctures of my life. In each, the Spirit beckoned me to draw from the well of living water, and I broke through to a healthier leadership. You can too. I'm here to tell you that leading well at work and home is possible. We can earnestly seek self-care resources while caring for our companies, projects, and other people. I'm also here to tell you that as you strive to lead well, you will encounter challenges. Life happens, and it often happens when we decide to completely follow God in any area, such as in our leadership execution. You will be challenged as you listen to leading well and work to incorporate its practices and principles, but do not quit. Please understand that leading well is a journey. It entails making an ongoing commitment to ourselves. The truth is, God's love and redemption for humankind are all embracing and are shared equally with women and men, Black, white, and brown. God's calling into ministry and leadership, including marketplace leadership, is also given equally to men and women of all cultural backgrounds, including ours. I offer this book as a resource for Black women leaders. I write to encourage us to use our voices and engage in changing these places for the good of all. I invite Black women of faith to lead from the well within. I also welcome other leaders, especially those who consider themselves our allies, to listen to this book, as its message is pertinent to all leaders. Still, this book centers Black women and our experiences as Black Christian women. I have written this book based on the lessons I gleaned from another outsider woman, the Samaritan woman at the well. Remember her? We find her story in John chapter 4. She was an outsider to the culture of Jesus' day, and she left a legacy of leading that can inform and inspire us all. As a woman from an outsider culture included in the mission of Jesus, her encounter with Jesus provides vital lessons for us today. We've descended upon workplaces and places of worship in great numbers and ascended to the highest ranks of leadership in business, academia, and some religious spheres, and in politics, as Vice President Kamala Harris can attest. Yet despite our accomplishments, serious patterns of exclusion still persist. Patriarchy in every sphere of influence has created a narrative about women's leadership that positions women, especially Black women, as outsiders. Patriarchy is the system of thought and practice that espouses the power of men over women and limits the power of women to lead. Moreover, books on women's leadership are too often written to give women advice on adapting to a male-dominant system with patriarchal leadership models. For Black women, that advice involves adapting to a system that privileges whiteness and maleness. This approach creates an implied narrative about Black women's leadership that positions it as inferior. It encourages us to assimilate to a supposedly superior men's leadership model. Further, it ignores the systems that constrain Black women in leadership. What is needed is an approach to leadership that challenges and changes that narrative while simultaneously giving Black women tools to strengthen the leadership in line with our whole selves. I offer it in this book. Here, we do a reread of the Samaritan woman's story. Too often, she has been the subject of narrative bias, as preachers and teachers have cast her as a sinful woman without a redemptive storyline. But many who teach or preach about her ignore the cultural context in which she lived. they also minimize what she brought to the dialogue with Jesus. A closer study of the story through the lens of her culture yields more insight into their conversation and how it ignited her leadership. Her story speaks to us, Black women, who have likewise been subject to cultural bias and systemic racism and misogyny. Her story reminds us that our relationship with the Lord is the starting place for holistic leadership in any context for Black women of faith. Using the Samaritan woman's conversation with Jesus as a guide, I discuss holistic leadership and offer a series of spiritual lessons on leadership. These aim to reshape the patriarchal narrative about Black women to acknowledge, affirm, and accentuate our resilience and deep reservoirs of strength. These lessons also incorporate what I consider a crucial principle of leading well. Black women leaders must lead from the inside out, that is, from the spiritual well that is within us. These lessons are relevant whether we lead in the marketplace or church. They flow from the living water that replenishes our well daily. It is time to honor leadership approaches that stem from our faith and cultural traditions and lead holistically, creatively, justly, and effectively. It is time for us to share our leadership stories of stepping into our God-given leadership roles. Our Leading Well Guide. Each chapter of this book will cover one aspect of why and how we can start leading with a holistic vision of wellness and leadership in mind. In Chapter 1, we get started by honestly examining the state of our leadership and reimagining what our leadership can be. Chapter 2 covers what it means to be Black women who lead and encourages us to shed stereotypes to lean into the God-given strengths of our multifaceted identities. Chapter 3 showcases strategies for accessing the wellspring from which healthy leadership flows. Bias can block the flow of our leadership, so in Chapter 4, I lay out a strategy for defying this bias. Next, in Chapter 5, we delve into how worship helps us perceive more possibilities for our leadership, families, communities, and nations. Chapter 6 will help us own the transformative power that stems from knowing about the dynamics of racism. Chapter 7 focuses on how to prioritize our well-being and how to relinquish old mindsets and limiting beliefs. In Chapter 8, I help us reframe our leadership from career to vocation. Chapter 9 offers tools for gaining leadership clarity. Then in Chapter 10, we'll discuss the legacy-building power of shared stories. Finally, the appendix offers a roadmap for developing an ongoing Leading Well plan. At the end of each chapter, I provide Leading Well reflection questions to help us internalize the lessons of that chapter and a Leading Well practice from one of 9 dimensions of well-being I have found to be crucial for Black women. Each practice aims to help us incorporate a wellness discipline into our leadership. Leading Well Together. So much of what we do as Black women is in community. Please listen to this book with a friend or a group of sister leaders. Consider recommending it to your book club to listen to it together. Ask the women's ministry of your church or your sorority chapter to include it in their programming. Now is the time for integrating wellness principles and practices into our leadership. It begins with learning to lead from the well. I ask you to stop and consider this question. What would your life look like if you indeed led from the well? Join me in gleaning from the transformative dialogue between this unnamed woman who met Jesus at a well and gleaning from her leadership after the biblical story ends. 1. Reimagine your leadership. Jesus had to go through Samaria on the way. John chapter 4, verse 4. Picture this. You are a mid-level manager months away from your 15-year work anniversary. With rapid consolidation in the industry, your position has changed dramatically over the past 5 years. Due to a recent staff reduction impacting the team you lead, you are working harder and longer and are experiencing more burnout. You feel less motivated about leading in this changing industry. Your mantra has become, I can't do this anymore. You dream of making a change, using your leadership gifts in more purposeful ways somewhere else. But how?
Sample complete. Ready to continue?